We've broken
Love Talk Radio.
And we have moved.
Done enough.
I want to take this time out tonight to talk about some of the things that's happening in our world and what's happening in our nation and what happened around the world. And there's a scripture in the Bible. I had Mary Hawkins from Detroit to get the scripture to read it tonight. I want to say to you the question as, is we doing much better in race relationship? Are we doing much better in trying to teach our children about love, peace, and joy? Have we made up our mind that we're going to serve God and we're going to serve the Word of God? One of the things that frightened me tonight, when Chicago is full of sisters and all kind of diseases study coming into our community, and seem like nobody have talked about it, nobody have seen why the drugs are taking over our neighborhood and why we're not running the businesses in our neighborhood. You got to know yourself to be yourself. And once you know yourself tonight, you can be yourself. Number one, we come from a long, long history of our ancestors. We was handcuffed and shackled and brought here. And Congress said that we was like an animal, a horse, a chicken. Congress did that. The same Congress would not vote for economic rights. Right now, the same Congress have not gave us reparation. So how far we have come with the drugs to destroy our community, with the dope and the rock and the crack. Then those that men can turn homosexual. It's a plan by the white supremacists. Males think they're females, and they female to think they males. It's not all right for a man to go with a man. It's not all right for women to go with women. God didn't design for you to go in that situation. In our government, we got two men that are married, then we got a woman that's in our government, says she gay. What is gay? What do that mean? God made man and woman. God made Adam and Eve. And I just don't believe that God opened our eyes to mistake. He don't operate like that. If your daughter, your son, your children, you can't condone that. If you condone homosexuality, you are condoning a sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. One lady told me, Bishop, it's all right. Because T.J. Jakes said he won, and somebody else, Brum Long, down there, he won. I don't care if everybody in your neighborhood can turn. Don't you turn. If you go by the word of the Bible, if you listen to the word of the Bible, it's going to tell you what God said And I'm taking my time tonight because so many kids saying they're coming out. Well, you coming out. That's the work of Satan, the devil. It's good for you to come out. That's not right. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God, eternal life. I know some of your friends are homosexual. And what that means, they don't know what they should be about. They saying God made a mistake. That's why I want to be a woman. God made a mistake. That's why I want to be a man. Tonight, you cannot buy into that homosexual evil. It's evil. There's nowhere in the Bible it talked about the gay community. There's nowhere in the Bible it said men can go with men and women to go with women. If you find it, bring it to me. Tonight, I want to deal with the homosexuality that have blanketed the black community, that is all right. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life. God didn't make no mistake. He made man and woman. Man for woman and woman for man. Anything else is abomination for God. I know y'all ain't liking to hear this tonight, because this is Bible study. If you're going to study the Bible, you got to study the facts. And I don't care, because your child, your grandchild, or your friends that way, you scared to speak on it. You got to speak truth. When you speak truth, God will do the rest. Exodus 14:14, God's Moses, step back. This is my fight. Now, I want to tell you tonight, wherever you might be, driving along your car, sitting at home, the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life. You got to get ready to receive the gift of God, where you might be directed in the right path. We're going through a crisis where people just got over here and jumped on the police and beat them up. So we're going through a crisis in our community. And the politicians, they lie so much. But when it comes to the truth, they never tell the truth. They come to the church on Sunday morning and speak. When they get in office, you don't hear from them. It's hard for you to even talk to them because they're so busy. But I want to say tonight, as we study the Bible, I want to take a scripture tonight. I want to explain it to you, every letter, where you know that God has not made a mistake, and God still said high and look low. I want to say this tonight. It's important to understand some of you have worked all your life. You ain't got nothing to show for it. Some of you are still working and still running into opposition about going to the next level. Might be your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter. But you got to stand on principles and more. All is well. When you stand on those principles, Can't nobody take you off of them. And God will open your eyes. And this is my daily prayer. Now, if you got a need, go to my website, The Seed of Abraham, just like, and plant a seed. You might say, bitch, I don't know where it comes from. You walk in faith. One lady told me, she said, it's been years, I ain't got nothing yet. I said, hold on. God ain't through with you yet. And those that got loved ones, there's no sorrow left that heaven cannot heal. I'm praying for cataracts, tumors, high blood, sugar, diabetes, and all the diseases, and those that are under witchcraft magic, those that are caught up, can't find a job, and you don't know how you're going to make it from day to day. But I want to be the first to say, God will make a way out of no way. Your way, as I speak, is being made. Your darkness won't turn into light. So what I'm saying to you, get ready for God to bring you to the next level. We're going to be prophesying Friday, giving messages out, and what you should be doing in 2024. That's Friday. All day Friday will be at the burning bowl, washing and cleansing and letting some things go back to the astro. You know this is the year of the dragon. And the year of dragon means cover up, because his spirit been sent to block me and you. The dragon, he said, I don't know what real dragon. Yeah, it's real dragons. And some of them might still exist. You and they big as airplanes. They're wingspan. What I'm saying to you tonight, if you got a need, plant a seed. I'm telling a young lady tonight, you need to plant a seed because you got a need. When you got a need, God will direct you where to go, and God will bless your seed. And I'm praying tonight for divine protection on each one. I'm not stood up. As if for God I live, for God I die. And your mind is made up that you're going to serve God in spite of. I want to understand this. When you working for God, he'll pay you when he get ready. Because that's what he do. So tonight, and today, we're getting ready to open up some doors. I'm asking God for something special to put right here in Chicago. And you know when I say that, Mama and his spirit come up. And I can hear her saying, Bishop, if you start the business, I'll make it run. I say, so. A lot of our ancestors telling us to go into business. But it's time for you to get the loan for your business. We will make sure that you get the loan that you need. Okay? So when I'm saying it to you, God said, I have no glow. And when I said, God, that's something special for you, and he getting ready to do something. Open our eyes what we might see. And God will open our eyes of what we might see. And we might understand. That's what God will do for us. And my whole thing is stay focused, still lurch. Let God do his thing. Let God show on us. I'm God Almighty. I'm God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So in that situation, God is blowing to mind tender is the word. Thank you, Janet Spirit. All is well. I understand that. Something going on. Where he's supposed to be in his element. Where he's supposed to be. The way to sin is death to give to God eternal life. And I'm telling you tonight that is abomination for God. You know, I got on that. And people said, but you all not to talk about when a lie is a lie. The Jews over in Israel, them Zionist Jews, the real Jews are black. But they run them out with guns and tanks. Where they get the guns and tanks from? From America. They've killed 30,000 people over there, and they're still bombing. The crazy man said he ain't going to stop. So somebody going to reach out, and they're going to the Capitol, and that's why so much happening. And that's very important to understand. Now, Romans, get your Bibles, to Romans 1:26. Mary going to read that for us. Take your time, Mary, and read it. And when Pearl, tell Pearl we still on air. Tell Pearl we still broadcasting. And many of you, one lady told me, I didn't know you were broadcasting. I don't go around how I'm broadcasting. If you're doing your right thing, it's going to come in, okay? If you do your right thing, God going to send the right thing to you. I want to go to Detroit tonight, and Sister Mary Hawkins is going to read Romans 1:26. And God turned him over to a reprobate mind. Now, some of you don't know what reprobate means. So since we're in Bible study, Mary, you take it slow, because I want them to get the essence of what we're talking about. One of the things I want to bring out, we are not doing nothing in order to graduate. We ain't doing nothing in order to keep us looking good, smelling good, acting good. Seems like when he got the president, he's back. So we got to go with what we know and make it work for us, I shall say. So that's what happened with that. I want to see, like I said tonight, that some of you so caught up in making a dollar, you just forgot that all the silver, all the gold belongs to God. And a lie can go so long. And it's everybody doing this. Everybody, 150 gay folks marched. Them 150 folks that is not of God. Now, what I'm saying to you tonight, it ain't no such thing as LGBTQ, whatever they call it. It's, you're looking at men and women have broken away from God and indoctrinated other people. Say, I'm gay. I'm this, I'm that. But I want to let you know what the Bible said tonight about that. Some of you don't want to know what the Bible said because you're going to anticipate and continue to do it. We got Chicago full of syphilis and and full of diseases as I speak tonight. Dominion, all this stuff comes from having unprofited sex. Men going with men. Women going with women. And you said, well, it ain't happening to me. You need to come away from them folks and leave them alone. Tell them the truth and let God handle it. Exodus 14:14, God said, Moses, step back. I got to handle these folks. They're out of control. America is out of control with the dope, the guns, the killing. They just busted a boy today, and he was 13 and 14, with pistols in the car, trying to jack somebody, and they got jacked. What I'm saying tonight, pay attention to your environment. God gonna let you know. And those people that jumping out there saying they just, some people gonna die. Graveyard, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God, eternal life. Now, some of you don't want to embrace that. You want to embrace something else. Let me get this. Let me go to Detroit. Okay. Mary Hawkins, God bless you. Did you get that scripture for us?
Yes.
Will you start to read it? I might stop you in the middle of it, but consistent.
Oh,
read that for us. Go ahead and read it.
God gave them up into vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they
hold it right there for me. What Mary is reading is Romans 1:26, where God turned them over to a reprobate mind, men's going with men's like they're doing today, women's going with women. Y'all say it's all right. It ain't happening to me. If your husband is having a man, he's going to bring syphilis and disease home to you. If your wife is messing with a man that's messing with another man, they're bringing that stuff into your house, and it will kill your kids and you. So some of the stuff happening today, you know, big business is all right because they're worrying about money. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God, eternal life. Men aren't supposed to go with men, and women aren't supposed to go with women. That's abomination for God. They have turned away from God. They have turned away. God said, Adam and Eve, man and woman. It ain't changed. That's why we got so much of syphilis in the Chicago area right now. And they might have it in Arkansas, Mississippi, everywhere. Because it's okay to be homosexual now. It's okay for two men to go together. This is what the crowd is saying. They have forgot the power of God. But I want to tell you tonight, whatever you're going through, lift the name of God up. You know, when my daughter's gay, my son is gay, you got to chastise them folks and tell them that's wrong and give them the scripture. Romans 1:26, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. That means they're going to go crazy, and they crazy. Right now, they on dope. One lady cut another lady's breast off. One man starved another man because he looked at a woman. That's crazy. That's demonic. Read on, Mary.
And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do that.
Now, this is what the Bible's saying. Read it for yourself. They didn't want to listen to what the Bible said. They didn't want to listen to that. They wanted to do their thing. I know some of you got friends and you tell them about this. Well, I want to hear that. But you need to get away from them because lightning might hit them. And
I told my grandfather that.
Yeah. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind means that you done gone crazy. Your mind's done messed up. Because you're doing something that's unseemly. And people don't want to hear that. They want you to say it's okay to do that stuff. It's not okay. Let me go back. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God, eternal life. What I'm saying, those that participate in that homosexual stuff, I don't care how much money you got, I don't care, you can marry all the men you want to all the women. The Bible says that he's going to turn you over to a reprobate mind and you're going to die. That's what it says. And, and a lot of people don't want to hear that. And you wonder why we're so behind. What I mean in the race situation, we have turned away, we done turned 60 degrees away from God. We don't want to hear. And the preachers ain't preaching homosexuality. They don't want to because their church is full of it, and some of them homosexual. Okay? And they get mad at you if you tell them about it. I know one lady got fired off her job because everybody that was homosexual but her. And she was crying out of the baby. God wants you away from there because something going to happen. The roof fell in on the building. Y'all better hear me tonight. I'm taking my time to tell you the wages of sin is death. The gift of this homosexual stuff is out of order. That's why so much of killing and murder going on. People killing their mama, their daddies. They're taking pills. Because of this homosexual stuff, out of control. I mean, you got young folks think it's all right. It's a girl, 12, 13, to my, I'm gay. What you know about that? See, what's happening, you know, if you born to be a man, how can the kids in my, I don't want to be no man, I want to be a woman. Here's a girl to my, I don't want to be no girl, I want to be a man. And the mama said, it's all right. She going to bust hell wide open with them.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Because they're doing that which is unseemly. And people don't want to hear about that no more.
No, they don't.
The Bible story, Romans 1 and 26, I turned them over to a reprobate mind, being that doing that unseemly, and the self-worth is death. I just said, Meriden said, the Bible said it.
Yes.
They seeking another God. They seeking evil. They seeking all kind of negativity. And, well, this is talking about the homosexual. I don't want to listen to that. You don't want to listen to the truth. I don't care, Baptist, Catholic, AMs. See, in the Catholic Church can't say nothing because all them kids, they molested. And they're coming out. You know what I'm saying? The church got to clean this act up. See? The church got to clean this act up. If it's going to be the church of God, if it's going to be something to uplift people, and that's very important. Read on, Mary.
Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication,
filled with all, listen, let's hold it. The Bible says filled with all unrighteousness. Now, murder, all that stuff, murder, killing, all that stuff. What you think right now, Chicago, you got people that got gonorrhea, you got people that got syphilis, and they got another strain of syphilis now. If you don't get it treated, you die. Then the Bible says the wages of sin is death. I ain't telling you nothing I don't know. I'm telling you what, Google it. You can go get on your phone and Google syphilis, and Chicago's full of it. That means homosexual men is having sex with women. Women got their boyfriends having sex with. So it's like explosion of death for homosexual that's going on. And it ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse. And ain't no pill you can take to take all of it. You're going to die until you obey God. Read on.
Malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, and whispers. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boaster, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents.
Mm-hmm. Now, it said, y'all get all them toys you want to get, still going to hell. I got toys. You have defied God. God said, man and woman, it's healthy for a man and woman to have sex. But now, if a man look at a woman, know what he said? Know what they say? He's looking at me. He's violating me. You know, it's so bad. I think the word they use, this word they use now, he's looking at me. A man supposed to look at a woman, a woman supposed to look at a man.
Yes.
And the Bible supposed to multiply. But now the gay folks, they don't want you to look at no woman and don't want you to look at no man. Because God done turned them over to a reprobate mind, doing that which is unseemly. Now, you can listen, but I just want to let you know. Now, I want another thing I want to say. We done come a long way. We still got a long ways to go with, we got a long ways to go with this civil rights stuff. Look like we're going backwards and forward. It seems like that we ain't now, we are not taking care of ourselves. And it seemed like that from the time they brought up from slavery. And this is Black History Month. I'm going to play some of Dr. Martin Luther King, where he talked about the voice and what we're doing in civil rights. We got people that don't want to march now. You know, they want to, they seem like they on drugs. They're happy on drugs. And we have worked so hard, so many people have died to try to get the right to have homes, the right to try to be right.
That is an innocence, a poignant question on the lips of hundreds and thousands, yea, millions of people all over our nation and all over the world. I get it a great deal as I journey around the country and other places, and I'm sure this question is on the lips of many here tonight. It is a question, are we really making any progress in race relations? And I think there are basically three answers that can be given to this question. One is the answer of extreme optimism. An extreme optimist would say in substance that we are making marvelous strides in race relations. They were born joyously to the marvelous developments that have taken place over the last few decades in terms of legislative advances. And from this, they would conclude that the problem is just about solved now and that we can sit down comfortably on the wayside and wait on the coming of the inevitable. The second position that can be taken is that of extreme pessimism. The extreme pessimist would say that we've made only minor strides in race relations. They would contend that the deep rumblings of discontent that we hear over the nation, the resurgence of the Ku Klux Klan in some sections of the South and other sections of the North, the rebirth of white citizens' councils, are all indicative of the fact that we have created many more problems than we have solved. And from this, they would go on to argue that there can really be no real progress in race relations. And it is very interesting to notice that the extreme optimists and the extreme pessimists agree on at least one point, and that is that we can sit down and do nothing in this all-important area. The extreme optimist says do nothing because integration is inevitable. The extreme pessimist says do nothing because integration is impossible. But that is a third position that can be taken, namely the realistic position. And the realists in race relations trying to answer the question of progress would seek to combine the truths of two opposites while avoiding the extremes of both. And so the realist would agree with the optimist that we have come a long, long way, but he would seek to balance that by agreeing with the pessimist that we have a long, long way to go. And it is this realistic position that I would like to take as a basis for our thinking together this evening as we deal with the question of progress in race relations, and as we deal with the whole question of the future of integration. We have come a long, long way, but we have a long, long way to go before the problem is solved. Now let us notice first that we have made meaningful strides. And I think I should point out that the Negro himself has come a long, long way in re-evaluating his own intrinsic worth. In order to illustrate this, a little history is necessary. You will remember that it was in the year 1619 when the first Negro slaves landed on the shores of this nation. They were brought here from the soils of Africa. Not like the Pilgrim Fathers who landed at Plymouth a year later, they were brought here against their wills. And throughout slavery, the Negro was treated in a very inhuman fashion. He was a thing to be used, not a person to be respected. The famous Dred Scott decision of 1857 well illustrated the status of the Negro during slavery. For in this decision, the Supreme Court of our nation said in substance that the Negro is not a citizen of the United States. He is merely property, subject to the dictates of his owner. And it went on to say that the Negro has no rights that the white man is bound to respect. And with the growth of slavery, it became necessary to give some justification for it. It seems to be a fact of life that human beings cannot continue to do wrong without eventually reaching out for some thin rationalization to clothe an obvious truth a wrong, rather, in the beautiful garments of righteousness. And this is exactly what happened. Even religion and the Bible were misused in order to crystallize the patterns of the status quo and justify the whole system of slavery. And so it was argued by some that the Negro was inferior by nature because of Noah's curse upon the children of Ham. The Apostle Paul's dictum became a watchword, servants, be obedient to your master. And then one brother had probably read the logic of the great philosopher Aristotle. You will remember that Aristotle did a great deal to bring into being what we now know as formal logic in philosophy. And formal logic has a big word known as the syllogism, and the syllogism has a major premise, a minor premise, and a conclusion. And so this brother decided to put his argument of the inferiority of the Negro in the framework of an Aristotelian syllogism. He came out with his major premise, all men are made in the image of God. Then came his minor premise, God, as everybody knows, is not a Negro, therefore the Negro is not a man. This is the kind of reasoning that prevailed. Well, living with the system of slavery and then later segregation, many Negroes lost faith in themselves. Many came to feel that perhaps they were less than human. But then something happened to the Negro. Circumstances made it possible and necessary for him to travel more. The coming of the automobile, the upheavals of two world wars, the Great Depression. And so his rural plantation background gradually gave way to urban industrial life. Even his economic life was gradually rising through the growth of industry, the influence of organized labor, expanded educational opportunities. Even his cultural life was gradually rising through the steady decline of crippling illiteracy. All of these forces conjoined to cause the Negro to take a new look at himself. Negro masses all over began to reevaluate themselves. The Negro came to feel that he was somebody. His religion revealed to him that God loves all of his children, and that all men are made in his image, and that the basic thing about a man is not his specificity, but his fundamentum, not the texture of his hair or the color of his skin, but his eternal dignity and worth. And so the Negro could now unconsciously cry out with the eloquent poet, fleecy locks and black complexion cannot forfeit nature's claim. Skin may differ, but affection dwells in black and white the same. Were I so tall as to reach the pole or to grasp the ocean at a span, I must be measured by my soul. The mind is the standard of the man. With this new sense of dignity and this new sense of self-respect, a new Negro came into being with a new determination to struggle, to suffer, and to sacrifice in order to be free. And so in a real sense, we've come a long, long way since 1619. But not only has the Negro himself come a long, long way in re-evaluating his own intrinsic worth. We are to be true to the facts. We must say that the whole nation has come a long, long way in extending the frontiers of civil rights. Now, there are so many things we could point to. As one who has lived in the South all of my life, I can certainly point to this because it's so easy to see the change. 30 years ago, even 25 years ago, a year hardly passed, when numerous Negroes were not brutally lynched in the South by some vicious mob. But lynchings have about ceased today. the turn of the century, there were very few Negroes registered to vote in the South. By 1948, that number had leaped to about 750,000. By 1960, it had leaped to 1,300,000. By 1964, it had leaped to 2,196,000. When the Supreme Court of our nation rendered a decision known as the Plessy versus Ferguson decision, which established the doctrine of separate but equal as the law of the land. Of course, we all know what happened as a result of the Plessy Doctrine. There was always a strict enforcement of the separate without the slightest intention to abide by the equal. The Negro ended up being plunged into the abyss of exploitation, where he experienced the bleakness of nagging injustice. Then in 1954, the Supreme Court of our nation examined the legal body of segregation and on May 17th of that year pronounced it constitutionally dead. It said in substance that the old Plessy Doctrine must go, that separate facilities are inherently unequal, and that to segregate a child on the basis of his race is to deny that child equal protection of the law. And so since that decision, we have seen many significant developments. Along with that, we've seen other legislative developments which have brought us nearer to the goal of justice. In 1964, President Johnson signed a comprehensive civil rights bill which had been so ably recommended by the late President Kennedy. And then in 1965, President Johnson signed the new Voting Rights Bill, which is now the law of the land. All of these things are significant. And so in a real sense, to put it figuratively in biblical language, we've broken loose from the Egypt of slavery, and we have moved through the wilderness of separate but equal. And now we stand on the border of the promised land of integration. And we have come a long, long way since 1896. Now this would be a wonderful place for me to bring it in to my talk tonight. First, it would mean making a short speech, and that would be a magnificent accomplishment for a Baptist preacher. Today it would mean that the problem is just about solved in America and that we really have nothing to be concerned about. We don't have much work to do. And it would be a marvelous thing if every speaker was able to talk about this problem in terms of a problem that once existed but that no longer has existence. But I'm afraid if I stop now, I will not be telling the total truth. I would be stating a fact, certainly, but not the whole truth. You see, a fact is merely the absence of contradiction, but truth is the presence of coherence. Truth is the relatedness of facts. Now, it is a fact that we've come a long, long way, but in order to get the whole truth, we've got to bring the other side into being. And if I stop at this point, I will leave you the victims of a dangerous optimism. If I stop here, I will allow us to end up with an illusion wrapped in superficiality. So in order to tell the truth, it is necessary to move on and say not only have we come a long, long way, but we have a long, long way to go all over America before the dream of brotherhood, before the ideal of integration is a reality. Now, we need not look very far to make this point. We need only open our eyes, read our newspapers, look at our televisions, and look around in our communities. And we know that we are not yet to the point where we can boast of clean hands in the area of brotherhood. I mentioned the fact that lynchings have about ceased. But other things are happening just as tragic. I can remind you of the fact tonight that over the last 18 months, more than 13 or 14 Negro and white civil rights workers have been brutally murdered all across the South. And if one would look at the jury system, look at the courts, you would soon discover that in most cases nobody has even been convicted for all of these murders. This reveals that we have a long, long way to go. I mentioned the fact that we've made strides in voter registration. We have a new voting rights bill, and this is marvelous. But there are still areas where Negroes who seek to register and vote confront economic reprisals. And I submit to you tonight that in places like Lowndes County in Alabama and numerous counties in Mississippi, people have been put off, thrown off the land and put out of their little humble dwelling places simply because they went down on the basis of the new voting rights bill and sought to register and become citizens by being registered voters. This tells us that we have a long, long way to go. I mentioned the economic area, and that figure, $30 billion, sounded big. We must see the other side, and that is the painful, tragic side. And that is the fact that 42% of the Negro families of our country still earn less than $2,000 a year, while just 16% of the white families earn less than $2,000 a year. Some 20% of the Negro families of our country earn less than $1,000 a year, while just 5% of the white families earn less than $1,000 a year. 88% of the Negro families of our country earn less than $5,000 a year, while just 58% of the white families earn less than $5,000 a year. And so the Negro finds himself perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. And the problem is becoming even more difficult today. For years, we have been victimized with discrimination in many areas and on many levels. Denied apprenticeship training, deprived of educational opportunities, facing discrimination in so many areas. And this meant that so often we were limited to unskilled and semi-skilled labor. And now, because automation and cybernation have come into being, these are the jobs that are passing away. And so while the nation stands in its most prosperous period, while the nation faces its lowest level of unemployment that it has over the last seven or eight years, unemployment among Negroes is at its highest level. While the average for the nation is still around 4%, and we turn to the Negro community, the unemployment rate at times goes as high as 14%, which means that is a major depression within the Negro community economically. Now, we can see the problems that this will bring about when people are deprived of economic security. They're deprived of opportunity to educate their children. They're deprived of opportunity of getting proper medical care. They're deprived of the opportunity of being able to live in decent housing situations. They are deprived of the opportunity of having the basic necessities of life. And finally, they are deprived of the opportunity of respecting themselves. So often out of self-hatred, out of embarrassment and humiliation, they lose motivation. And it is not enough to look at the effects of discrimination. It is necessary for a concerned and compassionate nation to look at the causal basis of the whole problem. For instance, there are those who can argue ad infinitum about the fact that the Negro is culturally behind, And so they say we must not integrate